The Piano Matters is a production of the Classical Network and is supported in part by listeners like you. Become a member at WWFM.org. Thank you. This is David Dubal, and we are together once again for The Piano Matters. It's a program where so many wonderful small works, often neglected, that are really a high refreshment. And not to mention those amazing pianists that I have each week, perhaps no group of musicians so toil at their instrument. Its exigencies are so vast, and all of them have such different hands. But, as Leopold Godowsky once said, who plays the piano with their hands? We begin with a true craftsman, an impeccable one, Cyprian Katsaris. I think he was born on Cyprus. I personally know his relentlessness in practicing. He gives us now Earl Wilde's transcription of Tchaikovsky's song, At the Ball. Cyprian Katsaris in Tchaikovsky's At the Ball, a transcription of one of his songs. Tchaikovsky wrote over 100 songs. Borodin wrote them, Mussorgsky wrote them, Cesar Cui wrote them, Rimsky-Korsakov wrote them. Every Russian wrote in the language they loved, and yet still this incredible literature is unknown. So we're very grateful sometimes for Earl Wilde, let's say, doing some of the songs of Rachmaninoff in transcription. And transcription is a means for the pianist, who's the only instrumentalist who has completeness right in front of him, and he says, "Oh, I'd like to play that Beethoven symphony," and Liszt transcribes it for the piano. It's a long and an amazing tradition, and on the Piano Matters, we've had many extraordinary, if you've noticed, transcriptions from other forms. This is the Piano Matters. I'm your host, commentator, and programmer, and I hope you will be pleased with the result. Lots of silver and lots of gold nuggets for the heart coming from the hand. The seat of humanity is the hand. Ah, yes, the hands need to do something, and I think nothing better than playing the piano. One need not be good at it. We have this terrible feeling always that we must be so good. That's for the professionals. But what satisfactions lie ahead for the person who takes up the piano at any time? It's waiting for you. Buy one. Too many pianos in our electronic world find their way into the dump heap. So listeners, that's my proselytizing and message for the day. And as Hazlitt, the king of essayists, says, great thoughts reduced to practice become great acts. So buy that piano you've always wanted to. It's been waiting for you. And once you know, a house was just simply not a home without its piano. You'll love having it. Let's proceed to Poland. I have two little mazurkas by the Polish bard, and they will be played by Marian Kapura, and his CD is titled Images of a Homeland. Mr. Kapura has immersed himself in Chopin throughout his life and has been seen and heard in many lecture recitals on his favorite subject. Here are two mazurkas. Thank you. hope Mr. Kapura is listening, because I know that he often does, and we just heard him play two mazurkas by the great Polish composer. Well, you don't need the word great. We all know Chopin is great. Marian Kapura gave us the G minor, opus 67, number 2, and the one in C major, opus 68, number 1. Vladimir Horowitz once said to me, "Every mazurka of Chopin, pure gold." A man by the name of Campbell wrote, I don't know his first name, "The longer we live, more brief appear our life's succeeding stages. A day to childhood seems a year, and years like passing ages." Shakespeare said, "Jan Cassius has a lean and hungry look. He thinks too much. Such men are dangerous." And so Descartes said, "I think, therefore I am." And what about, "I am what I am"? Here is the Israeli-born pianist Boaz Sharon, and he plays a fetching piece by the much underplayed Frenchman Charles Kirschlin, born in Paris in 1867. It's called Dance for Ginger Rogers, and it's from a set of 5 slow waltzes, and I have Mr. Sharon in number 4, Dance Lenta. Thank you. Charles Kirkland's Dance Lenta from Five Dances for Ginger Rogers. Of course, she is the famous dancer, partner of Astaire, and actress. And the player in this stylish-like production was Boaz Sharon. Thank you for playing something beguiling and certainly not known. This is The Piano Matters. I'm David Dubal, and again, hoping you are quite well in our nation's turbulent days. Rachmaninoff lived at the beginning of the Russian Revolution, but with guns going off in the street, he was still focused, and madly so, on his revision of his first piano concerto. 16 years before that revolution, the great Rachmaninoff was composing his Opus 17 after 4 years of depression where he had not written a note almost. Well, it's a brilliant two-piano suite. Comes from that same time that he writes the second piano concerto and the cello sonata. Three brilliant works that had been repressed from him for those 4 years. Well, we will listen to a brilliant rendering by Valery Kuleshov with Tatiana Kuleshova. Note the magnificent interplay between the two pianos in marvels of that Rachmaninoff amazing piano figuration.
Thank you.
The waltz movement from Rachmaninoff's brilliant suite for two pianos. Oh, do I love that. The whole work is extraordinary. Rachmaninoff had played this imagine with the first suite and the two piano version of his last work, The Symphonic Dances, with no less than Vladimir Horowitz. His record company refused, as they said it wouldn't be such a good commercial venture, as Rachmaninoff had almost begged them to put these performances on records. Then, of course, 78s. Who was that Philistine who made such a decision? For me, it would be sinful to refuse Rachmaninoff anything. Thus, generations have been deprived of this sublime collaboration of two giants of the piano, Horowitz and Rachmaninoff. To make poor artistic decisions is a disaster. We heard the valse selection in the hands of Valery Kuleshov and Tatiana Kuleshova. Henry Fielding said, "When I'm not thanked at all, I'm thanked enough. I've done my duty, and I've done no more." Well, I think a thank you is a welcome phrase, and a few of us get the chance to say, "You're welcome." Who was Joseph Martin Krauss? He was born in 1756, and it was the year Mozart was born. He died in 1792, which means 1 year after Mozart. And he seemed to have spent much of his short life in Sweden. Unlike Haydn, Clementi, or Mozart, he composed little for piano. I think you may enjoy this unknown product of this late 18th century composer. We shall hear the finale of the three-movement sonata in E-flat major, the player Jacques Desprez. Thank you. Very well played. I thought the last movement of Joseph Martin Krause's sonata in E-flat major, and doubtless you never heard it. Well, it was played very well by Jacques Dupré. He's a Canadian, I believe, and he teaches at the University of Alberta. This is The Piano Matters. I'm David Dubal, and it matters to me that you are all doing as well as possible. Yes, César Franck. I've always liked him, not loved him, but he's not played as he once was his 50 or 60 years ago. And why is that? Fashion in music, of course, changes just like all fashion, and yet the great masters always persevere. He certainly has elements of greatness. Franck himself wrote, "It is of the first importance that a composition should be musical and emotional as well." We are to hear the prelude from the Prelude, Chorale, and Fugue, a definite staple of the French piano literature. Saint-Saëns, who was by no means fond of Franck's music, cried, "The chorale is not a chorale, and the fugue is not a fugue." But the prelude is gorgeous in its B minor tonality and Bachian sound and its organ-like mood. Remember, Franck was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, of all French organists of the time, and he had tremendous competition in Fauré, Vidor, and Saint-Saëns, and so many. For this performance of the prelude, I have the celebrated Russian-born pianist Evgeny Kissin. That was the burnished sound of Evgeny Kissin, a penetrating view of Franck's prelude from the Prelude, Chorale, and Fugue. This is The Piano Matters. I'm with you completely, listening with all my courage. Let me give you a few personal abbreviations. What is SOH? Well, it's sense of humor. How about G-S-O-H? Well, that means good sense of humor. G-R-O? Genuine replies only. N-S? Non-smoker. W-T-T? Willing to travel. D-T-E? Down to earth. Spark? S-P-A-R-K? Single parent raising kids. I didn't know any one of them, but I read it somewhere. We return to Evgeny Kissin, joined by the great conductor James Levine, who plays the piano very well indeed, in a Carnegie Hall performance of the characteristic march, number 1 in C major, by Franz Peter Schubert, for two pianos. McKesson and James Levine from their all-Schubert Carnegie Hall concert in Schubert's characteristic march in C major, I think good ensemble playing. Was Harvard the first of the Ivy League colleges? Yes, as early as 1636 at Cambridge, Massachusetts. And no others in the 17th century. Then came Pennsylvania at Philadelphia in 1740. Cornell at Ithaca was the last of the Ivy League colleges and was founded at the end of the Civil War in 1865. Just a bit of info from the Piano Matters. In 1865, the Chickering Piano Firm was still the most sold American piano, with Steinway making a big bid for tying them. At the tender age of 18, Karl Szymanowski wrote 9 preludes for his Opus 1. They're superb late romantic effusions, some of them very melancholy. I'd like you to hear the German pianist Susanne Kessel in highly concentrated playing of the Szymanowski prelude, Opus 1, number 5, and Opus 1, number 7.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the two Szymanowski preludes from his 9 in Opus 1, the pianist doing a very fine rendering, Suzanne Kessel. Franz Liszt was the towering figure in the history of pianism. His playing seemed out of this world, and people often described it as such. He was one of the most complex personalities of the 19th century, which had an overwhelming number of great personalities. In the 1860s, he composed an impromptu in F-sharp major, and it's only recently, because of recording, begun to be heard. It's an exquisite lyric. Well, now we hear Quentin Kim in F-sharp major impromptu by Franz Liszt. Thank you. Quentin Kim enlists F sharp major impromptu, a very unknown Liszt piece. And that concludes this edition of The Piano Matters. Great piano playing, like great thoughts, need no trumpets. The distinguished educator Horace Mann said, "Education is our only political safety." And he also said, "A teacher who is attempting to teach without inspiring the pupil with a desire to learn is hammering on cold iron." This is David Dubal. Thank you for listening. Piano Matters is produced at the studios of WWFM, the Classical Network. The associate producer and engineer is Rachel Katz. For a complete playlist, log on to wwfm.org and click on Playlist. The Piano Matters is made possible in part from the support of the listener members of WWFM, the Classical Network.